But we're kind of on this journey where we're walking through, talking about the Holy Spirit and just being led by the Spirit. And last week we looked at some scriptures that were just kind of focusing us on. This is a Spirit-filled life. This is how to live while we're walking with Christ, with the Spirit of God in us in this world. And what does that look like, and how do we do that, is what we kind of talked about. But we're going to continue that journey. But before we do that, is I want to take you to a scripture in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, it's just a beautiful scripture that I was reading as we've been studying the Holy Spirit. And it says this, and this is out of the NLT. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. I don't know, when I read that, it just kind of really struck me. Is that in this scripture, it tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living inside those who believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. You've been filled with all the power. The whole deity of God is living within inside us. And do we really comprehend that? Do we really understand that God loves us so much that he did something? He said he's going to place his Spirit in us, and he did it. So that way you and I can do a few things. And I don't know if you caught it in the scripture. It says, so that way you and I could live lives, meaning we could have a life to the fullest here and now and experience the fullness of God's glory here because of the Spirit that's living in us. And it also talks about that you and I are sealed in the Holy Spirit. These bodies that are mortal, but they become immortal, meaning that there's everlasting life because of the Spirit of God who lives in us. And it's all through Christ. So just a beautiful scripture. And as I spent some time kind of meditating it on myself, this song, Isn't He? Maybe you remember that. Some of you might not know it. Just started going through it through my mind because I started thinking about God's provision. I started thinking about his love. I started thinking about his mercy and his grace. And the song just started going through my mind. And it says, Isn't He beautiful? Beautiful. Isn't He? Prince of Peace. Son of God. Isn't He? Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, isn't he? Counselor, mighty God, isn't he? And then it says, yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you are Prince of Peace, Son of God. Yes, you are. Yes, you are wonderful. Wonderful, yes, you are. Counselor, almighty God, yes, you are. I just want to just stop before we get into the message, and I want us just to take a moment to really just kind of marvel at God's love, marvel at his provision, marvel that he has placed the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead inside of us. Now, if you hear this as a believer, then what in the first part of the prayer, I just want you to take some time, just praise God, meaning just thank him for what he's done. Just thank and praise him for who he is and the fullness of who he is. Now, if you're not a believer or you're just kind of checking the church out during this time, maybe you could just have a simple thing, a prayer, just saying, God, show me who Jesus is and help me understand this type of love. So I want you to pray with me. I'll give you some things that you might want to pray, but then I would ask that you would add to them in your own prayer. But would you just pray with me? Let's just take a moment right now. Let's just praise God for who he is in our prayers. Maybe you could praise him for being holy. You could praise him for being righteous. You could praise him for being creator of all things and the sustainer of life. You could praise him for his steadfast love. Just in your own words, just take a moment just to praise him for what he's done. Now just take a moment and just thank him. You could thank him for his steadfast love. You could thank him for sending Christ to die for our sins. You could thank Him for sending the Spirit of God that seals us for all eternity. Whatever comes to your mind or to your heart, just take a moment and just thank Him for what He's done. Heavenly Father, we would just ask, Lord, that You would help us to understand the depth of Your love for us and help us to grasp how wide and how long and how deep Your love is for us. Help us to get it into our innermost being and help us to respond to that incredible love. God, we thank You for pouring out Your Son as an offering for us so that way we could receive the forgiveness of sins. We just praise You and we thank You that You decided it wasn't enough just to leave us here, but You've poured out Your Spirit into us, the full power of the Trinity inside of us. God, help us to grasp that kind of love that You have for us. And Lord, as we begin to grasp, and I would ask, Lord, that our hearts would respond to Your incredible mercy and Your incredible grace and Your incredible love, Lord. And as we respond, Lord, may our lives be just an offering to You, pleasing, just an aroma going up before You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just hope you take time and marvel at really what God has done through sending Christ to die for us. Now, He didn't just leave us here, but He poured into us His Spirit. And you and I are called to live a different life, and it's a Spirit-filled life. It's responding to that Spirit that has been placed on the inside of us. And that looks different than the world around us. It looks different from everything that you and I are used to seeing in our world. It's a life that is sold out recklessly and in full abandonment, going, God, I love You, and this is my life, and do with it what You want. And when you look in Scripture, it's an incredible thing. As you go through Scriptures, you see the authors constantly reminding people of this incredible love. But what happens is, for a lot of us, is we get afraid. Fear becomes kind of like our ruler. What happens is if we don't understand something like the Holy Spirit, what happens is we start to do something that we do in America. We like to compartmentalize things. It's like we put God in a box. Because we don't understand some of the spiritual things, and we're unwilling to say that this area is a mystery and I can just stand in awe of this and I can just respond to this, we put it in a box and say it doesn't have anything to do with me. So you place the Holy Spirit somewhere over here. And what we're doing is we're just reacting in fear. And fear controls us. And when fear controls us, we're in oppression. When fear controls us, we don't experience joy. We don't experience hope. And if fear is our focus, because we're afraid to hear from God, then all of a sudden you don't hear from God. You're afraid to interact with Him personally. I mean, He desires to have a deep, deep relationship with you and I individually. And if you have fear, all of a sudden that relationship is hindered and you don't experience the fullness of God here in this world. And so it's like you can kind of see in Scripture, the authors are going, don't live a life like that. Live one that's bold. One that is fully invested in living for God and responding to that Spirit that's on the inside of you. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Timothy chapters 1, verses 6 through 10, as we're going to look at. Paul is reminding his young friend that he's been training up, Timothy, about some things about who God is and how to respond and how we're supposed to live, because Timothy was experienced hardships in his life. In the church that he was the kind of a leader in, there's division, there's a lot of trouble going on, and he was young, and so he didn't always know how to respond. So Paul writes to him to encourage him to continue to walk in the Spirit and continue to marvel at the wonderful things and mysteries of God. And he says these words in verse 6. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And so Paul's just kind of going, Timothy, I want you to remember something. Remember when you came into your relationship with Jesus and you believed? Remember I laid my hands on you and I prayed over you and the Holy Spirit just filled you completely? He said, remember that? Remember that moment. Don't ever forget it. And he says, what I want you to do is I want you to fan that. that little spark that's kind of on the inside, I want you to fan that. Otherwise, it's going to take work to keep growing in the Spirit and relying on the Spirit. It's kind of the image that I got is like when you go camping. You know, my wife doesn't like me to use lighter fluid, but I'm a Boy Scout. It says be prepared, so I bring lighter fluid. She likes to, you know, to make it out of, you know, paper the old-fashioned way and then stacking up little twigs and stuff like that. And you get this little spark sometimes, and that little spark is just a little glow. And then we take a Frisbee, and then we start to fan that thing. And we fan, and I'm sweating because I'm like, you know, doing it. I'm like going, get the lighter fluid. And she's like, oh, no, just keep going. And then what happens is eventually that little teeny spark starts to consume the little branches around it. It starts to consume the wood around it until it's one big, massive fireball, right? And that's kind of what Paul is saying here. I want you to fan the Holy Spirit that has been placed inside of you. I want you to respond to it. I want you to remember the glorious things God has done for you. And I want you to fan that into a flame where it's all-consuming. Because the Holy Spirit is all-consuming power and all-consuming fire that fills a believer. And he goes, I want you to live your life like that. And so, since he says, I want you to remember these things, then he goes on and he says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So he's like going, he says, you know, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. You don't have to walk around in the spirit of fear. In fact, you've been given a spirit that's a powerful. He's beyond what we can imagine. And you've been given a spirit of love. And you've also been given the spirit, which is, this is all from the Holy Spirit, of self-control or being self-disciplined. So he says, with that spirit that entered into us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to live for Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what the world thinks about your faith. Don't worry about what your coworker thinks about what you believe. But just remember to focus on these incredible, wonderful mysteries of God and let that just consume you. And as it consumes you, it boils up outside of you. And then all of a sudden you start to be bold. You start to love people like you've never loved them before. And you start to be self-disciplined. It's all from the Holy Spirit working inside of you. And Paul's like going, remember this, Timothy. Stay focused on this. Don't get lost. Don't be afraid of the things that are going on around you. Don't get distracted. Respond to that spirit that God has placed in you. Remember the one that's full of power, the one that raised Christ from the dead? Remember that spirit? That's in you. Respond to it. And see, with God, it's always about this heart thing, that we're responding from the heart. It's not a knowledge thing. It's from the heart. And so you have, in this moment, it's like he's going, respond to the Holy Spirit out of your heart, out of your innermost being. When you recognize the love that God has for you, when you recognize the depth that he went to show you that love, even though you didn't love him, he loved you and pursued you and wooed you into a relationship. Remember that. And then after you remember that, then all of a sudden you just start to fan that flame and going, I'm responding to this love. I'm not doing all these things because I have to. It's because I want to, because of what's inside of me. So you have the spirit that's been placed inside of you, and he's a spirit that is full of power and full of keeping us from being fearful in our life, fearful in our relationships, fearful in everything that we do. But it's us choosing to respond to that power and understanding that we have that power in us. And how do we get to that power? Complete surrender. And again, this is a heart issue. Everything in the Bible is about heart issues. So in our innermost being, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work. So he says, I gave you this spirit when he came in. It's a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. A spirit of power. A power, when I think of power, because I was an electrician, I think of an outlet, an electricity. It's something that has a charge to it. If you grab a hold of an outlet and it's not protected, you're going to get electrocuted. And when I think about the Holy Spirit, it's something that you got to plug into, and it charges your life. And it's going to be beyond what you can handle at times because it's spiritual. It doesn't always make sense, but you know it's of God. And it's not walking around in fear. And just think if we walked around with power instead of fear. I mean, there's so many people that are afraid, afraid of people knowing that they're a Christian. I mean, especially in our culture right now, everybody can say everything they want about a Christian and bash Christians and tear them down. And what are a lot of Christians doing? They're pulling back. They're going, oh no, the world's coming at me. Oh no, they're calling me out. And you have in this moment, Paul going, remember you have a spirit of power to stand? You don't worry about what the world's doing. You don't worry about what people are saying. But you keep your eyes focused on God. You keep your eyes and your heart focused on the truths that are in Scripture. And you stand boldly. Doesn't mean that you're combative. It doesn't mean that you're rude to people. It means that you show love and mercy and kindness and compassion and your self-discipline, meaning that you live differently than other people. So we have the spirit that's been placed in us to give us power. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, so do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord or ashamed of me as a prisoner. So he's like going, don't be ashamed to testify about God. I think he's speaking to all believers. Don't be ashamed to testify to about who he is, what he's done in your life. Because he's the only thing that's going to save the world. He's the only thing that's going to make a difference in another person's life. You're not going to make a difference. Yes, you can invest in them, but until they receive Jesus, nothing's going to change in them. You want to be that person testifying. And then sometimes you have other Christians, and he's like, don't be ashamed of me either. I mean, other Christians, sometimes we can be ashamed of. Well, he's in prison. Don't be ashamed that I'm here. It's okay. He's okay with it because he's there for the gospel. And then he goes on. He says, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And these are great words for us to get excited about, and they should be welling up inside us, and we should be going, God, I love you, because this is what you've done. You've done something. You've called us into a relationship. I didn't do it. His Spirit drew you into a relationship. His Spirit revealed who Jesus is to you. He says, this grace was given to you, and you were called into this relationship with God. That's God wooing us. And I love what it says. It says, before the beginning of time, before you existed, before anything existed, God loved us so much because he knew the beginning to the end, and he knew your name even before you existed. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every struggle that you're going through. And he says, I've got a plan for them, and I'm going to set it into motion even before I create this whole thing. I'm going to send my son to save them, and I'm going to show them my love and my grace. I'm going to pour my spirit into them. This is before the beginning of everything. And he says, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a thing to be excited about. What a thing to have joy in our souls about. That we have Jesus who came on the scene, revealed God's incredible plan to us, that he destroyed death, meaning that this physical death we're all going to experience unless he returns. But there's a final death that we escape because of a Savior. And that's Jesus. He says, and we get immortality because of that. And all of a sudden, now we're not walking in darkness anymore. Now no longer are we controlled by the things of the world. We've been exposed to the light. And that light is living inside of us. What a beautiful thing to respond to. I mean, if you're looking for something to respond to, this is something that we respond to. These things should give us peace. Let me just ask you, when you open up the Bible, do you find peace when you're in here? There's a lot of people, when we join together in the church body, you find peace when we're together. You find peace in some of the relationships. But you don't have the peace that the Bible talks about, a peace that is beyond understanding. This peace is it's not a false peace. There's a false peace. There's a peace where you're going, I got peace with everything. I feel at peace about this. And what we're really doing is we're ignoring a problem. Maybe it's a sin that we're involved in. And we're kind of ignoring it. So we kind of put it in that box and we place it over there and we go, I'm good with it. Or what we really do is we look around at the world around us and we say we're better than them, so therefore I'm in. So I don't have to worry about this sin. But then all of a sudden you open up the Word of God. Man, peace isn't there, is it? Because you never dealt with that sin. Maybe you have broken relationships and you're like going, you start reading this and you start realizing, man, it says to bear with one another. It says to love one another as Christ loved us. And all of a sudden, there's not a peace there. What happens is when you open this Word and you respond out of your heart to what God has done, and you do business with God, what I mean by that is you repent from your sins. You make the right restoration process that needs to happen in relationships. And all of a sudden, you do get a peace. It's beyond understanding. Do you get that peace when you open this up? If you do, then that means that you are walking in the Spirit. You're listening to the Spirit. And everything comes and flows completely out of the heart. And Jesus said it this way. He said, here's how you know if you're walking in the Spirit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourselves. So how are you doing at that? How are you doing with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Do you, when I say that, do you get tense? Or do you go, yes? Or do you go, not really? The command is, says if you're walking in the Spirit, we're responding, again, it's from the heart, we're responding to God's love, and we're saying, God, I love you more than anything in this world, and you mean more to me than anything in this world. Everything else in this world does not matter, but you are above all things. And my heart is sold out completely to who you are. Is that how you're walking your life? If it is, then you're keeping in step with the Spirit. You're responding. And then the other measure is love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And what? Love who? My neighbor? What? I got to love my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Everybody that you come across in life. I don't like that guy that I work with. I don't like my brother. I don't like my sister. I don't like that person. That's what you hear Christians saying. You hear Christians tearing down their bosses. But how you're supposed to love them. That's how are we responding to people? Is it from the heart and out of the love that we have for God? Or is it underneath our own power? If you're walking in the Spirit, you're looking around and you're going, everybody is created in the image of God, and I'm going to love them greater than I've ever loved them before, and in different ways. Now, we love people differently because there's some people that are just acquaintances, that you just see them, they're created in the image of God, therefore I love them. And there's people that are in your sphere that you love deeply. Do you sacrifice for them? Do you give of yourself to them? So love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then also love your neighbors. So how are you doing it at that? Are you really loving people that God has placed in your life? This is how we know if we're walking in the Spirit. And we're responding to the power that's been placed in us because we have been given a spirit of power. We've been given a spirit of love, meaning that we love people deeply and we show kindness and compassion to people even though we don't want to. And then he says to be self-disciplined. So these are the things that we've been given the Spirit to do. How are we doing? When I look in Scripture, I see these amazing moments where people are walking in the Spirit and they're responding to the love of God. And there's this moment in Acts chapter 7, this Stephen was just in this moment was preaching and he's pouring out his love of God. He loved God so much and he loved people so much, he wanted them to know about the gospel message. And he's telling the Jewish people that are around him this incredible message of what God has done. And the people do not like it. They don't like it that Jesus is a Savior, that he was sent from God. And so they're upset, and it tells us in verse 54, it says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. The gnashing their teeth is like anger. It's like the most extreme anger you can imagine, where they're just grinding their teeth and hissing through them. This is kind of a custom. I'm glad you guys don't do it, because I know there's times you don't like what I say. And so, but I haven't been hissed at yet, so don't do it. But I mean, just imagine in that moment, a lot of us would kind of shrink back, wouldn't we? But not Stephen. He steps up because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's responding to that power that's in him. And out of the love that he has for God, he wants other people to experience that love and to know about that love. And he doesn't let his emotions get out of control, but he focuses on God. And it tells us, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of God, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I mean, this is a bold thing. This is an amazing thing when you really step back and look at this story. I love this story in Acts. It's one of my favorite in the Bible. You have a person who is standing boldly because they have a relationship with God, a very intimate relationship with the Spirit of God that's living inside of them. And they're responding to that power, and they're responding to people in love, and people are not treating him well. People are getting ready to rush him. They're gnashing their teeth. And he doesn't kind of shrink back. Instead, he looks up, and heaven opens up. I mean, just imagine this moment. Heaven's opening up, and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. And this is one of the biggest arguments of it with the Jews. They didn't want to admit that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was sent from God. They hear this, and he knows what's coming. But instead, he sees the face of his Savior, and he's so sold out that he's bold. I mean, and in that moment, I just kind of picture, you know, him looking up, and you got God and Jesus kind of leaning in, looking down, going, well done, good and faithful servant. We welcome you home. Come home. You're doing my will. I mean, and Stephen just as bold, and he says those words, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then at this, in verse 57, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed him, dragged him out to the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And this is such a beautiful story. I mean, he's being persecuted. He's being overran by people. They're hitting him, stoning him. And all he can remember is the face of Christ. All he can see is his Savior and the love of his Savior. And he's like, I commit my spirit to you. And then he goes, don't hold the sin against them. Where do you think he got that from? His Savior? Remember Jesus on the cross? Do you remember when he's been spread out on the cross, nails through his hands and his feet, and just dripping with blood and a crown of thorns and the agony and the pain that he's in? The people that placed him there, the people that were standing around and mocking, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See the grace and the mercy just pouring out? And you see this in a person who's sold out, walking in the Holy Spirit, walking with God and spirit-filled, responding, and not with fear, but bold. Because he loves his Father so much and his Savior so much that he's willing to die, willing to give up everything. Do you love God that much? Do you really respond to him that way, saying, God, here's my life? Whatever your will is, may it be done. So we have these moments in Scripture where we constantly see these people just responding out of their hearts. And it's because they've recognized and they've been able to grasp how deep and how wide and how long the love of Christ is. They've been able they've been in this intimate relationship with Christ for so long that they can understand it. They've been pursuing God. And as they begin to understand it, great things come out of them. And it's always about the heart. The way that Jesus says it is in Luke chapter 6:45, he says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So what's in here? Whatever is in here is what's going to flow out of us. Do you have the love of Christ in you? Are you responding to that love? And as you respond to that love and you accept that love, that he loves you unconditionally and he's forgiven every sin that you have, and as you respond to that love, is love flowing out of you? Is kindness and compassion flowing out of you? Are you loving other people? Because one of the things that we read in Scripture is what Jesus said, is he said that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and we're supposed to love others. Is that how our life is modeled? Is that how we're living? Is that what's coming out of us? And what I would say is most of us, we probably dare say no, because I'm very self-centered. In America, we are battling with self. You see, somebody that's walking in the Spirit is others-focused, God-focused. And when you're God-focused, you get to see the amazing things that God is doing. And you respond to people differently. You love them. In spite of what they've done, in spite of who they are you really loving people? Are you giving forgiveness to them the way that you've received forgiveness? Are you interacting with them? Are you doing things for other people, not because you have to, but because you love them? You see, this is what a Spirit-filled person is filled with, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and one that is truly, truly self-controlled. You're not worried about yourself anymore. You're worried about God and others. So what I love about Paul is you get to see Paul's heart in Scripture too. Paul's heart is beautiful if you start to look at it. He had an encounter with Christ and it changed him forever and ever. And let me just tell you, if you have an encounter with Christ, it changes you. So he had this moment, he's writing to the church in Philippians, and he says these words, and they're so powerful, and I want you to see his heart. He says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true motives, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul in this moment, just hear his heart. What's flowing out of his heart is love for the gospel, love for God, and love for people. He's in prison. He's in prison, and people are mocking him because he gave a gospel saying, you know what, you have to die to yourself. You have to surrender your will, and you have to surrender yourself completely. While other people were going around saying, oh, you can come into a relationship with God. It's kind of like the health and wealth gospel. Come into a relationship with God. Everything's going to be great. You're going to have this, this, and this, and this. And he's like, oh, in this moment, they're ridiculing me because they're saying, look what happened to Paul. Look at him. He's in jail. And yet others of them are like going, hey, maybe since he's in jail, we can get more of his people and they'll follow us. And Paul's like going, I don't care. I don't care if they're preaching a gospel that may be a little bit different than is the gospel. All I care about is they're preaching the gospel and people are hearing about the gospel. I mean, can you hear his heart? Is like going, my heart is for people. I want them to know this love that is beyond comprehension. I want them to know that there's forgiveness of sins. I want them to know that there is a God in heaven who knows them and loves them and has acted on their behalf and sent his son here. I want them to know that. And when they believe, I want them to know that their sins are completely forgiven. And I want them to know that they have eternal life forever. I don't care how that happens. I don't care that I'm in prison. The gospel is being preached. He says, and I'm rejoicing in this. Can you hear his heart? And he says, yes, I will continue to rejoice in verse 19. For I know that through your prayers And that the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then he goes, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, because of the power of the Spirit that's in him, I'm okay with whatever happens. I'm in prison. All I'm concerned about is that the gospel is going out and people know the gospel. I don't care about anything else. You know what? For me to die here in prison, it's gain because I get to go to heaven and spend eternity with him. But for me to live, Christ is proclaimed through my body, through my words, through what I do. Can you hear the heart? What's in your heart? Do you love God that much? Do you love other people that much? And then we'll just close with Matthew, verse 44, as we're talking about the heart and are we walking in the Spirit. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything that he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything that he owned and he bought it. Do you see God? Do you see Christ? Do you see the Holy Spirit as something to be valued? Something to be cherished? Something worth selling everything that you have? Giving up everything, maybe even friends? Giving it all to him? Do you see him, Jesus, as a treasure that's been buried in a field? Do you see him as this most magnificent pearl that you've never seen before, and there's nothing like it in the whole world, and you want it for yourself? You want it to be buried deep within you because you see how beautiful it is? See, that's what happens when you're walking in the Spirit. You start to see how beautiful he is. You start to see how wonderful he is. You start to see how marvelous he is, and you start to respond out of a heart that is in love with God, and then we start to love each other like we're supposed to. So how are you living your life? Are you living it for yourself, or are you living it sold out to God, walking in the Spirit? We've been given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. Will we let it rule and reign in our hearts? That's a choice that we have to make, each one of us. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we just would ask that your Spirit would truly fall on us. We ask that your Spirit would speak to our innermost being and help us to understand this love that you have for us. And as we start to understand this love, and we start to understand that we are filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God, as we start to understand that we have eternity and we have salvation in Christ, God, that we fall in love with you, and as we fall in love with you, that you give us a heart that would respond to you, and that we would start to live differently. We start to love differently, and we'd start to love you completely different, where we're just sold out to you. We thank you for always pursuing us. We thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.